You are listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast, the number one wellness podcast designed to provide the latest information to help you achieve your health and wellness goals. Our show features exciting guests, the latest in medical research, and in-depth discussions in current trends on weight loss, nutrition, and fitness. No matter what your interest, the Health and Wellness Podcast has you covered. And now, presenting your illustrious host, Dr. Barry, MD.
Hello, 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 and thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast. I want to thank you for being a faithful listener and checking us out every week on Afro Vibes Radio. But hey, if you somehow don't get a chance to check us out Thursdays, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Afro Vibes Radio, please don't hesitate to check out our podcast page. That's anchor.fm/HW Connection. That's HWCONNECTION. Again, check us out on our anchor.fm podcast page. Check out all the shows uploaded there immediately after the show airs on Afro Vibes Radio. Also, if you want to listen to the show live on Afro Vibes Radio, please download the app, AfroVibesRadio.com. You can download it from the website or go to your local or favorite, mobile OS app, be it Android or iPhone. Download the app on your phone today. You can stream the show as well as the awesome Afrobeat Music Collection live on your phone for free. Again, no money down, all free, all awesomeness. Do it today. Again, if you want to reach out to me personally, you can always get at me on Instagram. My name, Dr. Barry MD, DrBarryMD. Also, you can email me at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. That's Dr. Barry, DrBarryHealth@gmail.com. And last but not least, Facebook is also where we're at, posting all the shows as well as other exciting articles. Check us out at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Again, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love hearing from listeners. Any feedback, any even sponsorship opportunities, because we are very highly listened podcast, always looking for sponsors. Check us out if you're interested in sponsoring the show. And also, you can do it on the Anchor FM page. You can donate, become a super sponsor. We're going to get a lot of cool freebies for those people who do sign up. So check us out again. It's Dr. Barry here. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the show. Hello, 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 and welcome to the latest episode of the Health and Wellness Connection Radio Show. I want to thank you guys for joining us today on what I hope will be an informative and entertaining show for you and all the other listeners out there. Again, this is Dr. Barry. So we got a lot of awesome and really kind of sad topics discussed today. We're going to really go a little bit, of course, into the corona pandemic numbers and see what's going on that end. And we're going to also talk extensively about what's going on in the West African country of Nigeria. I'm sure you guys are very familiar with the ongoing protests. We're going to go and kind of dive deep into that and kind of see, you know, what's going on, how it's affected. In COVID, you know, it's still there. Is this going to be potentially a thing that will make it worse? We'll talk more. So yes, before we get into that, let's talk about the pandemic. So of course, we've been discussing this pretty much for a few months now, and I'm sure most people are tired of it, but the reality is that it's still a thing. So we're going to kind of go briefly what's going on. And, you know, for the reality, you know, I mean, to be real, the numbers and positions haven't changed all that much. Yep, the numbers are still trending upwards. We have a total of 41 million cases, 1.1 million deaths globally, and about 30 million people have contracted the disease and recovered. So, again, coronavirus is definitely not a death sentence, but it is definitely something real that's causing a lot of issues. Now, briefly, as far as countries that are still leading the charge, USA is still number one at 8.5 million cases, averaging about 63,000 new cases per day. So definitely moving up in that regard. So this is, you know, also concerning because there's increasing number of deaths seen in the U.S. as well, about 1,200 per day. So U.S. is definitely really still rising in this fall season. The official fall surge is here. The hope is that, you know, with the decreased death rates we're seeing with these with the cases in this period. Hopefully, hospitals will be able to cope. But again, it's going to be touch and go going forward. India's number two, 7.7 million cases, about 56,000 new diagnoses per day. And they're averaging about 700 deaths per day. So again, India is, again, 1.3 billion people. So almost 3 to 4 times the size of the United States. So while those numbers are pretty big, it's still overall a fairly impressive number given the percentages, but still a concerning issue. In fact, the numbers still as high as they are and apparently rising. So guys, keep India in your thoughts. They're definitely having issues, but I think, given their overall ability to keep their death rate low, you know, let's hope that they can get through this without too much issues. Brazil, number three, 5.3 million, 25,000 cases per day. 5.3 million total cases, I should say. And then about 570 deaths. So Brazil is still right there, number three spot. Russia's number four at 1.4 million cases total. About 15,000 new diagnoses per day. And about 317 deaths per day. Spain rounds up the top five at 1 million cases total. About 16,000 cases per day. And about 156 cases total. So that's the coronavirus for you. Still rising. Still definitely a thing. One thing that we're seeing also regarding the coronavirus is that the treatments are still in much controversy. I'm sure you guys were familiar. We talked about the Trump cocktail that he received during his recent battle with the coronavirus disease. And one of the particular medications that were used and got a lot of notoriety as a result of it being used as Trump's cocktail was the medication known as remdesivir. So a large study that was recently performed by the WHO has found that remdesivir does not help hospitalized patients with COVID-19 survive, and it doesn't even shorten the recovery time of those who do survive. So this is kind of contradictory to some of the studies we've seen similar regarding this drug. Remdesivir, like I said before, a basic drug a lot of people had a lot of hope in because of the, you know, believed effect that it would help, you know, heal those coronavirus patients who are significantly hospitalized and are needing, you know, pretty intensive treatment. Now, of course, it was initially criticized due to the the high cost of the medication, which is ranged anywhere from $1,500 to $4,000 per treatment. But because of some of the perceived benefits that were seen in some of the early clinical trials, this thing was actually really, you know, pushed hard by the administration and so forth. So now WHO comes out today saying that it may not be effective at all. So that's caused a lot of consternation and kind of, you know, anger, I guess, if you could say, amongst the makers of the drug, which is Gilead Sciences. And, there's still going to be a lot of back and forth. They're going to potentially do some more studies to try to, you know, to officially, you know, make a call one way or the other. But it's kind of a setback in the overall treatment strategies that were being developed for the COVID-19 infection. So, again, that's just one of the issues there. Another quick aside as well, as far as the coronavirus treatment front, is that there has been a setback in one of the vaccine trials going on right now in Brazil. So in Brazil, there was a vaccine trial that's currently ongoing. It was actually put on by AstraZeneca. This is actually the same company that's working with Oxford University and that has developed a vaccine that they're trying to, you know, get tested. Now, if you recall, this is the same vaccine that actually there was some users that developed a case of transverse myelitis, which is essentially inflammation of the spinal cord, and that caused paralysis in that patient. Now, in this Brazilian trial, apparently one of the volunteers who received the vaccine apparently passed away. Now, they're not sure exactly what's going on, but it does repeat. They report that the patient was a 28-year-old physician, recently graduated, who worked on the front lines fighting COVID-19 in three hospitals. So there's a report that he actually died of COVID-19, and he had potentially received the vaccine, and they believe that he may have succumbed to the disease after getting the vaccine. But we're not sure exactly. There's still a lot of confusion there. But again, this is a setback for vaccine therapy, with the hope that patients who did get the vaccine should have some protection. And if someone has had a vaccine and then later gets COVID-19, it's possible the vaccine didn't work possibly, or the vaccine could have potentially resulted in some of the complications. So we don't know at this point, but it is a setback again for this study. So again, I'm sure more investigation will go into that, and we'll know what's going on. All right, so on to the other topic. Now, we were talking about the country of Nigeria in the intro. And I just want to kind of, you know, kind of give you guys a heads up on what's going on. There's a lot as far as the current political situation that's really kind of, you know, I think interesting from many aspects, in addition to a health and wellness aspect, because again, many people are in a state of severe mental anguish as a result of the ongoing issues, and it's resulting in even a mental health crisis. So we're going to talk about that and how that works. But before we get into that, let's talk about the end, or hashtag end SARS. So SARS, so for those who are not really sure what's going on, the SARS is a special anti-robbery unit. And they're designed, they were actually a segment of the Nigerian police force designed to attack, they are attacking now, but previously they were designed to investigate, capture, and arrest suspected armed robbers. It was a time when armed robbery was a big concern in Nigeria, so this was a response by the government to help kind of stem some of the violence being perpetrated on citizens by armed bandits. Now, the SARS unit initially, again, had a noble, you know, cause, as most things do. However, after a while, they were given more leeway to do more kind of extrajudicial, you know, punishments. They could kind of skirt, you know, the civil rights of citizens to quote unquote catch the bad guys. And this led to a pretty significant rise in corruption and just overall just bad actors in the unit. As a result, they started taking on this profile where they could essentially harass and attack any individual they felt fit the profile, quote unquote. Now, when we say fit the profile, typically people who were actually harassed by these SARS units were young people, especially if you looked good or you had clean clothes, had an iPhone, an exotic laptop, had a nice car. You know, the SARS and police force would essentially harass these individuals, detain them, steal their items, kill some of them as well. Like, it was pretty horrific, you know. And unfortunately, these folks were allowed to kind of run helter-skelter, primarily because of the intense corruption and bribery that goes on in the country of Nigeria. So, as a result, many people have, you know, been victimized by this group, and nothing has been done. There's no accountability. Someone will literally kill a citizen because they quote unquote fit the description, or they, you know, did something that made the officer upset, and then nothing would happen. You know, so it was a very, you know, kind of eye-opening situation when recently there was a citizen who was killed by a SARS police unit during a routine patrol operation. And this murder resulted in massive protests. The protests that we're seeing today ongoing in Nigeria, and they've been going on for about 2 weeks now. So this is a sustained effort, and it's something that, you know, Nigeria is something hasn't really done quite often, just due to the typical intense brutality of the government, especially when in response to protests. So it's been a pretty interesting time. So we're going to kind of really talk more in detail about kind of SARS, kind of as far as what's going on ground. We got some news reports we're going to play for you as well. And then we're going to talk more about the mental health aspect of the entire SARS issue and how it's affecting the mental health of Africans, diasporans, and just all human beings, both on the continent as well as, you know, globally. So sit tight, guys. We're coming to the break. We're going to take this quick commercial break and come back on the other side with more Health and Wellness Connection, guys. Show us Dr. Barry. Stay tuned.
Nigeria's president has called for calm and understanding after protests against police brutality turned violent on Tuesday evening, with soldiers reportedly opening fire on demonstrators in the country's biggest city, Lagos. There are reports at least 20 people have been killed. Now, hundreds of people, some reports say 1,000, had gathered in this wealthy suburb of Lekki in defiance of an indefinite curfew imposed hours earlier by the authorities. The alleged shooting took place at the Lekki toll gate in the south of the city. And let's show you some of the latest pictures that we have been getting in. You can see here protesters running to take shelter amid the sound of gunfire, which reportedly went on for an hour or so. Now, I have just been speaking on the phone to one person who was at the protest, and he told me exactly what happened and what he witnessed last night.
Yes. Okay, right now, I can actually confide in you that from what I saw with my own eyes, I saw over 3 dead bodies died on the spot after they were being shot last night. Do you understand? I saw them. So it was really, really terrible. And these people were not armed. They were not holding any form of weapons. They were only holding the Nigerian flag. And we told the military they were not going to shoot, but that the reverse was the case. So life we had lost last night. And the governor also confirmed to it because this morning when he was granting the interview, he said that he went around the hospitals and mortuary. So if life we are not lost, what did he go to the mortuary to do? That's the case he should answer.
There are others that say that there were thugs who were paid to be there to stir up trouble. Did you witness that?
Yes. Yes. There were thugs that was being paid to start up trouble so that they can say that they are part of the protest. Those people were not part of the protest. That was another strategy they were trying to employ. And when they realized that, that did not work out because the protesters refused to fight back and everyone was holding their flag. They refused to fight back because they were using thugs. And that strategy paid them. That was why they brought out the military. And for them to say that life we had not lost last night, that is a total lie. That is a fatal lie.
That was an eyewitness who was just speaking to me a short time ago. Well, we've had widespread condemnation from around the world of the violence. Former US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton calling on Nigeria's President Buhari and the army to stop killing young protesters. While Manchester United forward Odeyang Ighalo has posted a video on social media calling the...
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the show, guys. It is the Health and Wellness Connection Radio Show. We're going to, you know, really kind of dive deep now into this whole SARS campaign. Now, I'm sure you guys heard the BBC News report where they really kind of broke down some of the on-ground activities as far as some of the recent issues regarding the killings by the government against the citizens. This actually was particularly devastating. Officially on October 20th, 2020, it was believed that the army was sent in to essentially open fire with live ammunition on unarmed protesters who were gathered around the a certain toll gate in a part of Lagos, Nigeria, known as Lekki. Now, this toll gate is pretty important because Lekki is a very high-end area of the city. Okay? A lot of politicians, a lot of the Nigerian elite that live in Lagos, which is a lot of them because Lagos is like a premier city in the country. And so I'm sure the protesters chose this location specifically because they wanted to really impede the movement of the elite, you know, Nigerians who typically live in the country and move about, you know, without any concern typically for the less fortunate. So I'm sure the protests decided to let's block this toll gate so that the, you know, elites who like to from their homes, they'll go to the airport and fly out, or they'll, you know, move about on their own. We can kind of force them to confront the issue of police brutality in America. I mean, in America. In America too, that's a whole other beast. But these protests were focused on police brutality in Nigeria. And like you said before, police brutality has been really kind of gone increasingly out of hand, especially spearheaded by SARS, who has really been one of the more, visible groups of government officials known to abuse the population. But the reality is that it's not really something specifically, you know, only, you know, you could only blame SARS for, because the reality is that the Nigerian government has a track record of really being very aggressive and violent with its citizens, with whatever force that's in question, be it the military, be it the police, be it SARS. You know, it's always been a heavy-handed approach that has resulted in a lot of, you know, unnecessary killing and maiming by government officials on the citizens. So this NSARS is kind of more of a culmination of all these grievances that have been building up over years, and this final killing. Yeah, so what triggered the killing was the October 8th shooting in actually the southern state of Nigeria called Delta State. And this triggered these nationwide protests once those videos that were leaked became publicly viewed. So again, the corruption has not really been something unique to SARS, but definitely SARS has been probably the most visible culprit here. So with these protests and people kind of being now exposed to the entire corruption and the kind of wanton violence perpetrated against the citizens in Nigeria, it's really shown that there is a very deep, you know, mental health aspect to this whole, you know, protest and situation that could be fueling this entire ordeal. Now, let's break it down. First off, when you see the typical state of the Nigerian society, especially in regards to the police. First off, police are paid approximately 65,000 naira per month. Now, 65,000 naira is roughly the equivalent of $160 per month. And so, and this is in a country where the cost of living is relatively, you know, it's much lower than the West, but it's still, you know, something that, like I said, Nigeria is relatively cheap. It's, you know, most official economic sites and other cost assessment measurements, if you will, where they look at different countries and determine how much you would need to have a normal life in that country. It's believed that you need at least about, you know, $500-$600 per month to kind of live a basic life and cover your shopping, your expenses in Nigeria. Now, again, Nigeria is, like I said, a relatively low-cost country. So $500 a month is definitely cheaper than a lot of countries. But when you have official police folks getting paid about $100, $150 a month, you know, that leads to a lot of room for people like that to, you know, potentially have to find other ways to make money. And unfortunately, a lot of those methods have resulted in, you know, unlawful kind of strategies like accepting bribes or harassing other citizens for money or blackmailing others, things like that. So, you know, this is something that's endemic as well in the country. While on the flip side, you have governors and senators who make multi-million dollar salaries and have all sorts of lavish gifts and state-sponsored cars and homes and whatnot. So it's just a, you know, endemic corruption where the higher level elites and the government officials are living extremely high on the hog. And most of the rest of the citizens, especially the public servants, are, you know, paid infrequently and paid pennies when they are paid. So it's just a rough situation. These kind of issues lead to increased mental anguish. Mental health is probably a huge issue. It is a huge issue in Nigeria due to some of these infrastructural problems. I bring all this up because when you have police now who are already, you know, struggling to pay their bills, don't get enough money from their regular routine job, which is relatively dangerous, you lead to them now taking out some of their frustration on the citizens that they're supposed to be protecting, resulting in them bribing them, harassing them, stealing from them, shooting them out of frustration. This results in now a frustrated populace. Now you have people who have been victimized, been brutalized by people who are supposed to protect them. Over time, this boils over, resulting in extreme psychological issues. And, you know, and we have the resulting this explosion of protests. And there's just kind of a self-cycling, I think, psychological bomb, if you will. Because, unfortunately, there's a lot of issues that are not being addressed. And this is kind of one way that the populace has decided to respond, to let their voices be heard. Now, historically, you know, things have gone wrong in countries like Nigeria. And because of lack of access to media or heavily controlled media, these things are kind of suppressed. Like, this is not the first time, you know, when the first SARS official killed a citizen and nothing happened, I'm sure people were very upset. But because of probably lack of local pressure, you know, lack of local media, you know, concentration on the issue, nothing happened. No accountability, no kind of punishment. Life just went on. This is things like that happening over and over again will lead to you know, just people's severe distrust of the system, and overall just a lack of happiness and just increased frustration and probably increased depression as well. So I say all this because this is something that's definitely not new, and I think SARS is really just a more manifestation of all these societal issues that are coming to a head. So as a result, we have to really be careful as far as how we, you know, approach this and make sure that if we're definitely, you know, interested in pushing for change, that we're doing it so that we're keeping our mental health and our faculties in one place. We don't want to, you know, potentially harm ourselves in a way that will make us less effective, so that, you know, we don't do the best thing possible for the country as well as for the people. Now, when I say people, I'm referring to everyone here, because the reality is that Nigeria is the largest country, is the largest Black African country in the world. Nigeria is about 200 to, it's estimated between 250 to 300 million people are in the country of Nigeria, making it the largest Black African country. It's believed that one in four or five Africans are Nigerian. So, you know, it's definitely a country that cannot be ignored. And people are hoping that Nigeria, once it gets its footing and starts to become a productive and developing country, it can be a beacon for, you know, people of African descent to, you know, look at as a place potentially call home. So it's a lot of, you know, things that are important as far as the country and why it's such a big deal. And of course, as a result of its importance, there's a lot of people who are focused on it right now, especially going through all this turmoil and strife. Most of the major celebrities have spoken out against it, from President Biden to Hillary Clinton to Kanye West to Beyonce Knowles. So a lot of attention right now on the country. And we have to also make sure that as we kind of, you know, see what's going on and we monitor the situation and show our support for what's going on, we ensure that we are maintaining our proper mental health and making sure that we're taking care of ourselves to ensure that we are at our best and we're giving, you know, the best support that we can. So it's just a, you know, very interesting time. I tell folks, especially those who have been glued to their phones and their TVs and their radios and not sleeping, not eating because of some of the horrific images we're seeing, that, you know, I encourage you guys to, you know, focus on, you know, finding productive ways to help. That means going out and protesting and, you know, you go showing your support, you know, on the streets. Definitely do that. I mean, there's a lot of great, you know, entertainers and public figures going out there leading the charge. So definitely find the local kind of venue in your area of the globe, because that's actually one of the things about bad governance in Nigeria. As a result, you know, many Nigerians have fled the country to find what you would call greener pastures, if you would say that. But the reality is that many Nigerians, you know, due to the lack of opportunity, had to have left the country to go to school and get jobs and just try to find a way to provide for their families. So as a result, this kind of end SARS protest going on the continent has now led to global protests, just because of Nigerians being in various communities, you know, promoting the concept and really getting the word out in their areas. And it's, I think, been very effective. So, you know, wherever you are, I don't care if you're in Poland or if you're in Lagos, Nigeria itself, you know, definitely, you know, do what you feel is best. And if it means protesting on the street, if it means, you know, speaking out, you know, on your social media, if it means donating to your favorite charity to help those who are on the ground or helping those who are in jail be bailed out, definitely consider all those things. I think it's something that anyone who loves Nigeria or Nigerians should definitely consider, because again, this is a very, very important struggle for, I think, all human beings, but especially, you know, Black African people. So let's just keep that in mind, guys. And overall, you know, I think NSARS, this will hopefully lead to some good changes on the continent. Hopefully, one thing I have seen as well, especially in regards to mental health, is that there are a lot of groups of psychologists in Nigeria who are looking at offering free psychological treatment to the citizens or anyone who really wants treatment as a result of all the turmoil and strife going on with this NSARS protest. So yes, it's important that you try and you know, reduce some of your exposure to the protests, or the I would say not the protests, but the overall NSARS turmoil, to de-stress on occasion. And as far as mental health, definitely seek out local mental health practitioners in your area. For people in Nigeria, please look online. There's a lot of local excellent sources of mental health resources that you can inquire, including the Federal Ministry of Mental Health or the Lagos State Ministry of Mental Health. So definitely check those out. The World Psychiatric Association is another great resource as well if you're looking at mental health resources. Now, for my folks in the Americas, you definitely want to consider looking at the Mental Health of America as well as the Association of Depression and Anxiety. Those are all excellent resources as well to help kind of find practitioners to help you to get through some of these issues that you may be facing as a result of these overall protests. And last but not least, guys, one thing I always stress too, which I don't talk about enough, we're going to definitely do more, is meditation. Now, meditation, obviously, is not the end-all be-all, but it's an excellent way to help clear your mind of some of that stress, that negative energy, all those emotions that are causing you to kind of get into a place that you don't feel comfortable with. Now, it's not something that you would say you would do to ignore your problems. You definitely want to face those issues and deal with them, but you want to also make sure you're able to control your bodily's, reactions to certain things to help reduce some of those negative effects that can occur once you're, in a high level of stress for long periods of time. And like we said, meditation, it doesn't take long at all. 15 minutes is plenty. You can do up to 30, 45 if you're really serious, but 15 minutes is what I recommend. Just keep it simple. And the goal is to relax, focus on your breathing, and try to clear your mind of all thoughts. You want to kind of just breathe and just clear your mind and try to think about absolutely nothing. And just try and focus and ensure that you're allowing yourself to relax and enjoy the peace and serenity of the moment. It's going to be extremely helpful in allowing you to help you deal with your emotions as well as deal with some of the stressors that can really put you in a negative place. So again, it's just a few tips, guys. Ultimately, one thing you definitely want to do as well is talk to people who can help you deal with some of the things you're feeling and seeing as well. It's so critical that you learn how to communicate and talk with others so you're not just dealing with everything internally. You're actually getting some things off your chest, hearing other perspectives, and kind of learning new ways to approach some of the issues you've been dealing with. So talk to your friends, talk to your family, or professional help with a therapist is always an option and a great option. So guys, do all that, and hopefully, once these protests are, concluding, there's some real changes going to be on the horizon. And that's what I look forward to, some of the positive developments that can result. So everyone keep Nigeria in your prayers. And don't forget, guys, there is a pandemic. Even though Nigeria is one of the countries that has reportedly extremely low numbers. Now, again, they are admittedly extremely low testing going on in Nigeria. It's believed less than 1% of the population has actually been tested. But the reality is the numbers are extremely low. 60,000 cases of coronavirus in the country since the onset. About 1,000 deaths total, period, since the onset. And meanwhile, we had 1,200 deaths today. We had 1,200 deaths on October 21st only. So it's just a really kind of a crazy situation. So coronavirus is not really, hopefully, has not been a big deal so far, but with these protests, we expect probably big rise of numbers due to all the close contacts and lack of social distancing at these protests and so forth. So, but again, there's levels of when people are being, shot and killed, most people are worried about that as opposed to potential infection. So just a crazy time, everybody. So try to, stay alive, bob and weave best you can, and just try to, be productive. Again, this is Dr. Barry of the Health and Wellness Connection podcast / radio show. Thanks for listening to the show this week. We have an exciting show planned for you next week as well, guys, so you don't want to miss that. Again, thank you for listening. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast and radio show. For more information on ways to get healthy, please check us out. www.anchor.fm/HW Connection. Here you can re-listen to the show, check out older shows, and even further support the show by becoming a subscriber to the podcast. Please check us out today. Again, that's anchor.fm/HW Connection. And also, don't forget to follow Dr. Barry on Instagram @DrBarryMD. Until next time, stay healthy.